Jesus says in Matthew's gospel and in a couple of other places, "For truly I say to you, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, 'Move from hence to yonder place,' and it would move, and nothing would be impossible for you." Sometimes I think a mustard seed's worth of faith would be a good day. And the good news from this text is that even when we can barely find that, if at all, it just might be enough. But the key to this little verse is more than just that insight. It's how, in fact, a mustard seed's worth of faith sees us through and brings us to the point where we can begin to catch a glimmer of the truth that nothing will be impossible for us. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, "Move." It is words that move mountains. Words that, I believe, come to us by the Holy Spirit. Words that bring us peace, that bring grace to others. But those aren't the only words that we use. Words are powerful things. In the wake of what happened in Tucson 2 weeks ago, there's been a great deal of concern about the impact of shrill rhetoric, partisan politics, and hateful bickering. What I find intriguing is that the discussion about shrill rhetoric, partisan politics, and hateful rhetoric has become shrill. And so it goes. But words are powerful things. What can we ask of a friend than to listen to us? To listen to what we say, how those words convey feelings. I make my living using words. I joke with my students, you know what therapy is, of course, is when you pay someone to listen to you. My students listen to me, and they pay me. Doesn't get any better than that. But the words we use and how we use them, the inflection we give to them, are all a matter of choice. There are words that move mountains and bring us peace. There are also words that create mountains and get in our way and shield from us the light of the sun and God's love. So I want to talk about words that make mountains and words that move mountains. What words make mountains? Well, you start with a molehill. Then you add the magic words to make a mountain that hems you in. Words like, "What? What do you mean?" These are words that we usually use in a conversation with someone who's asking us what it was we were thinking when we did that, and so on. And what we're doing is we're buying time. "What? What do you mean?" And we're buying time to sort of get our script together, spin control. Someone's caught us with our hand in the cookie jar, and there's a pretty good chance that a video of that will wind up on YouTube. So we better circle the wagons, get our story straight, our act together. It builds a mountain of defensiveness, of fear, of guilt. Start with a molehill. Get defensive about what you know you did, and you got to move the mountain. Well, what do you move the mountain with? Another set of words. Difficult words to say. "That was me. It was my fault. I blame no one else. I'm sorry. I'd like to try to make it right." Can you feel the mountain just sort of dissolving? "That was me. It was my fault. Let's try to make it right." Best advice I ever heard anyone give a politician was advice given to Bill Clinton that he did not take. This was right after we learned, among other things, what Bill Clinton was about. And one of his lawyers, Lanny Davis, told him this, and in fact wrote a book with this same title. Tell it first, tell it all, tell it yourself. Get out in front of it. And you know what? That mountain of hypocrisy and fear and guilt and anger goes away. Tell it first. Tell it all. Tell it yourself. Because guess what? God is not surprised, nor is God unaware of all of it. And the only thing that prevents you from being in position to experience God's grace and forgiveness, and maybe even begin to get the strength to make amends, is to, in fact, tell it first. Tell it all. Tell it yourself. Words that move the mountain. Here's another couple of words that can make a mountain out of a molehill. You just wait. Just wait till I get my chance. Do you have these revenge fantasies about people in your life? I can't wait until I see them because, boy, I'm going to tell them this, that, or the other thing. I can't wait to get even. That resentment and that anger. It's a mountain that basically eats you alive from the inside. Carrie Fisher is an actress. She was Princess Leia in the Star Wars series. She is the child of Eddie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds and grew up a child of privilege. And also experienced later in life after Star Wars a great deal of trouble, much of it of her own making, much of it related, she says, to anger and resentment. And she made this rather stark little insight, just a sentence or two. She says, you know what resentment is? It's like drinking poison and waiting for the other guy to die. You're the victim. Words that move that mountain. It's just not worth it. It's not worth it to me to hold on to that. You know, because the one in whose honor I'm drinking the poison probably doesn't even know or care. Right? It's just not worth it. Let it go. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to turn into a doormat. You know, get out from in front of the door as well. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I've learned a little something about the people against whom I've held grudges and resentments. And I can be civil, polite, and congenial without getting a great deal of emotional attachment resurrected. And part of that emotional attachment that we need to leave is, in fact, the anger and the resentment. Words that make a mountain out of a molehill, you just wait. Words that move the mountain, it's just not worth it, because it isn't. It's not worth it to you. And then there are words that make mountains out of molehills, not by the saying of them, but by the not saying of them. Words that go unsaid or unspoken. I come from the frozen north. The high yesterday in Wisconsin was +1. That was the high. And there are people that actually choose to live there. These are people that are descendants of people who settled that area from Scandinavia, by and large, from Norway and Sweden and other places. My theory is they left Scandinavia, sailed across the North Atlantic, probably in the winter, found their way to Nova Scotia and wanted to come to America and didn't stop until they found a place that was just as miserable as the one they left. And they named it Minnesota. These are the frozen chosen. It gets gray up there about October and the sun doesn't shine for real again until April. People are grim up there. And the story is told of the old Swede who loved his wife so much he almost told her. Almost. Everybody's in a relationship with someone they love. And, you know, it goes without saying that we love them. But it shouldn't go without saying all the time. One of the great mysteries to me about the idea that this life will lead us to life eternal is, in life eternal, how do you avoid complacency? Because it could go without saying for millennia, and we'll still see him again. I don't have the answer to that, and we won't until we experience it. I assume there is a reasonable answer. But I know for sure that complacency is what builds a mountain that can wall us off from other people. We get vivid examples of this usually several times in our lives. Our family is in the middle of what most of you in this room have experienced or soon will. we're going to lose somebody we love pretty soon. And there are things that we're glad we've had the chance to say. You know, I probably won't see Raleigh again alive. And I'll miss him a lot. I last saw him in October. And on that little visit, which was a great little visit, we took a drive in the country, went to a family farm and got a bunch of cheese, made some jokes about the stock market, looked ahead to what a great season the Packers might in fact still have. I don't know how much of the game he'll see or be aware of today. But the point is, we've had a chance to say what should never go without saying. Express love, express care, express concern. You're terrific. Who doesn't need to hear that? Oh yeah, we all know that's true from someone in our lives, but it should never go without saying for long, because it moves the mountain of self-doubt, of uncertainty. Do I matter? Does anyone care? Of course they do, and we know that, but you know what? A reminder never hurts. In fact, it helps a lot. You're terrific. Words that move mountains of our own making. That was on me. My fault. I'll do what needs to be done to make it better. You know what? It's not worth holding on to that anymore. And by the way, you're terrific. And nothing will be impossible for you. Amen.